When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com. When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Okay, guys, so if you love gossip, celebrity scandals, name dropping, and behind the scenes scoop, you're going to love this episode. I had the pleasure of talking to AJ Benza. If you don't know his name, get to know it. He's a pioneer in the world of gossip. He knows everything about everyone, and he held nothing back with me on this interview. He blasts the doors wide open on the world he's been a part of for decades as a journalist and TV host. No one is off limits today. No story too controversial. You do not want to miss it. So get ready for AJ Benza. All right, so we're going to get right into this, okay?
Okay, cool.
So happy to be meeting you in person, sort of, because after all this time, I feel like our paths should have crossed before now. I know that my name has come up in the press. I'm somebody I'm sure you've had to cover at some point or gossip about or write about. And, you know, I've obviously heard of you because you've kind of become infamous in the job you had. So it's my honor to meet you finally. So thank you for doing Misunderstood.
Of course, no problem. I'm misunderstood too. So I get the title, I get the whole premise. Yeah, I thought we would have met because of my days in nightlife. And I don't know why we didn't meet. I assumed we would have met at some point in New York or Miami or I don't know.
Yeah.
But thank God we have similar friends to hook us up.
That's right. We have a number of different friends that have said to me for a long time, "Oh, I can't believe you don't know AJ." So,
yeah.
So I'm happy we're here now. So I want to establish for people listening, because obviously you're part of my generation, basically, and I know where you came from. But like, tell me a little bit about your childhood and how you got into wanting to be a journalist.
Well, I think I just always wanted to be heard and remembered, to be really vain about the whole thing. I was always writing as a kid, always performing as a kid with my family. And when I got into, I went to college, got my journalism degree, but I always wanted to be an actor and, you know, just get some work acting. But I got married young and then divorced 5 years later. Once I got divorced, at 31, my whole life changed. I moved to Manhattan from Long Island, got a great apartment in the West Village, and I landed a job at the New York Daily News, where I spent about 7 years there covering gossip. I was the top gossip columnist at the New York Daily News in the 90s. And the 90s were just exploding with gossip from the Menendez brothers to Michael Jackson to, I mean, Tanya Harding, it was endless.
Yeah.
And I made my name on a lot of TV shows that covered that sort of thing. But yeah, I always love words. I love writing, and I hate to sound like an idiot, but I always think I have something important to say. So that's why I wanted to talk to people for a living. So this podcasting thing is perfect for me. I get right. to write and talk and get my points crossed.
Right. So what do you think made you attracted to entertainment news and scandals and gossip as opposed to like politics or something?
My mother used to read the gossip columns when I was young, as a kid. She'd read Rhoda Barrett. I don't know if you know that name.
Yeah, yeah.
Liz Smith. And she always would read them out loud. I don't know why. But because I loved actors in Hollywood so much, I wanted to be around them.
Yeah.
When I moved to LA in 97 for my TV shows and some movie work, then I was in that field of people. But doing gossip in New York City was really what got me to Los Angeles. I had a big name in New York City of covering all sorts of trials and tribulations and scandals of people. Mm. I mean, I would have written about you constantly, to be honest. I mean, it's a tremendous story. But when you had your scandal, I wasn't writing anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I've always loved secrets and scandals and gossip, and I got really good at it. I have very good sources. I have a lot of people that I talk to on a daily basis, and there isn't really a story I can't track down.
Right.
To this day, I just have an intuition of a reporter, and dogged determination. But acting, movie stars were very attractive to me when I was younger.
Yeah. So how did that work though for you? Do you feel like you started to become friends with some of these people that you were covering stories about them? Did that ever affect you being able to write a story in a fair way?
What happens is, for a long time I wasn't, but I was like, look, most gossip columnists back in the 90s, there was about 15 of us in the country, I swear. Mm-hmm. It was like hardly anybody was doing gossip. Now there's thousands of people. But I wasn't friendly with them, but I began to stay out with them till 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And at those hours, you tend to hear things and people have loose lips. And a lot of things I heard from friends I made that are in business I would never talk about. And that gave them a lot of confidence in the fact that AJ won't tell that story. He's cool. Don't worry about him. And I still have stories like that I haven't said.
Right.
But after about 7 years of doing it, you feel dirty. You know, you've been dragged through the scandal sheets. You just want to take a shower every day.
Yeah.
It's not a fun place to be.
Well, so go ahead.
No, it's just, I was really good at it. But what you asked me is very important. Once I was there long enough and became friends with them and went to their houses, and now you're in Sylvester Stallone's house, or you're making a movie with somebody, then my job got difficult.
Yeah.
So I knew I had to split, and then lo and behold, Los Angeles did a TV show for me, and I was gone from gossip in 97, and I went a good, I don't know, 10 years or so doing television and movies, probably more. But then the last 6 years, I've been doing my podcast because so many things were coming up, from Harvey Weinstein to Donald Trump, both of whom I know very well. Mm-hmm. And I said, I got to get back in this. I just know too much about these people.
Right.
And that's why I started the podcast.
So I have a couple questions from what you just said before. Was there anyone you felt like ever was a source that really screwed you, that kind of wanted to narrate a story or get a story out there, and you found out that that was incorrect? Or was there someone also that you've really protected and you feel like after all this time, you really shouldn't have protected them and a story should have come out?
No, not really. There was one guy I remember his name. His name was Ruben Mallaret. He was a publicist, and he tricked me. I was young at the game. He tricked me and told me that, I think it was Cindy Crawford was going to marry this singer named Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. And he called me with a female voice. I couldn't believe it. He finally told me when I left the job that that was me. So he wanted to get publicity for his singer, Cheyenne.
I see.
And he had some kind of voice modulator that sounded like a female. And I bought it. But that was the only time I was fooled. I was never fooled beyond that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So you never got yourself in trouble by saying things and then having to retract
them?
Well,
I had lawsuits that were thrown at me that never materialized. Robert Downey Jr. was somebody I covered when he was involved in all his drugs. I was covering the Oscars, and I went to Mondrian on Strip, and I saw him, and he was wasted. And I reported that story. And then I got all these letters from his lawyers, Marty Singer, all the big time lawyers, that you're going to be sued. Robert Downey was in Georgia. This is not true. And I told my editors, it's totally true. I was 10 feet from the guy. And then I found out many years later when I moved here that it was true. His manager told me he wanted to go party one night at the Oscars and then go back to Georgia where he was doing a movie. But by doing that, he broke his parole.
Oh.
So they protected him.
Yeah.
So I was never sued. A couple of actors tried to. It didn't go anywhere. I broke this Jamie Foxx story about 3 months ago,
mm-hmm.
where a source, a very good source of mine, who was in his room in the hospital, told me that he's now partially blind and partially paralyzed. This is in May. So I spoke about that on the show, and his people called my producer, but nothing came of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm right. He to this day, he's not explained what happened to him. He won't say it, which I find annoying, and so do a lot of people. But, things like that happen here and there. I knew Jamie for years. I would be with him at nightclubs and stuff. So whenever I was friendly with actors, I felt like it was better for me to break a story because I could barter with them. I could ease up or take my foot off the gas when they needed that done.
Yeah.
And some people came to me for that reason.
Yeah.
There's going to be a scandal about me. I was caught having an affair. Maybe you can write this way and not say this. And, I owe you down the road. Gossip reporting is pretty much quid pro quo, where, you rub their back and they rub yours sometime later.
Right.
So it's a lot of backdoor dealings and that kind of stuff.
Right. And I don't think a lot of people realize that a lot of times when you read an article and it says a source says, that source is the person who's trying to get their version out, and they just have had a relationship with the journalist,
yeah.
Or even not so, they just are willing to talk to the journalist off the record because they at least want to tell their story and be anonymous about it.
You know what's even worse, though, is that so many of these actors and recording artists pay their publicists tens of thousands of dollars a month, and yet those are the people who sell them out.
Right.
And I would get I would get a story about Naomi Campbell, right? And I'd call her publicist, and she'd say, "Please don't write that, AJ. I'm going to get so in trouble. Please write that." And that was really hard to call back then. I'd say, "Well, you got to give me something today.
Right.
I want a story today from somebody else. Get something or else I'm writing about Naomi." And sure enough, before the end of the day, I'd have a gossip item about somebody else. So the Naomi story went away, and I wrote about someone else.
Right.
So there are people sell them out a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I have been privy to that. I've been part of that, seeing how that happens. So I can attest that that is the way that it works. And sometimes you can only hold the original story out of the news for so long. It eventually comes out one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to go back to your Jamie Foxx thing, I mean, I did read about that. I saw that you had, you know, made a statement. You had kind of broken that story of why he was in the hospital based on your source. And then I did see that his team put out that was incorrect. It had nothing to do with the COVID vaccine, I guess, is what they were saying. And that he was going to be fine. And we have not heard from Jamie Foxx as to what the reason was, what actually happened. So, you know, for people to sort of say that you were incorrect or you made an incorrect statement, we don't even have the facts that that's true. It's just he said, she said, until we really find out the truth, if we ever do.
Yeah, I don't think we will. It was in mid-May, and I got it from a tremendous source of mine. I had no qualms talking about it on the air. I talked about it on Dr. Drew Pinsky's show to begin with.
Yeah,
he's got a big audience, and that's why it blew up. But all Jamie Foxx had to do was hold up his iPhone and talk to the phone and show people he's okay. But, you know, his daughter made it racial. His daughter said in the press, some crazy white man said something about my father and he was playing pickleball yesterday. Just complete horseshit. It's just a lie. But look, I think Jamie Foxx is probably the most multi-talented actor in Hollywood. Sing, dance, comedy, drama, you name it. So I wasn't happy to write that story, but... Man, when something that big comes along, I had to talk about it.
Yeah, well, for sure. Talk to me a little bit about what it was like to then be a part of things that were bigger than just being a New York gossip columnist. Like you got work with Howard Stern, right? You were working there for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that obviously must have, made you much bigger to a much bigger audience than what you originally had.
Yeah. Yeah, when Jackie Martin, I used to talk to Howard and go to the studio quite a bit. Howard loved gossip, and I had a lot of gossip on Howard, and I never reported anything about him when he was divorcing his first wife. But I knew who he was sleeping with, where he was living. They were living apart, and he liked that about me. Mm-hmm. He felt I was a stand-up guy. But when Jackie Martling quit the show, there was an empty chair, and Howard tried out a number of people to sit there. Jimmy Kimmel, there was a bunch of us. And I was there for about 20 days, 30 days. And the inside story was Howard liked me. But then I had a fight with Stuttering John. I smacked him in the face, and there went that chance. But I didn't know it might have been a career of mine. I wasn't the kind of guy I wanted to go to bed at 8 p.m. and wake up at 4 a.m. That's not my life. My life was staying up till 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fact that I was on Howard Stern's show, and that was when it was televised as well on E!, that gave me a much bigger profile for sure.
Yeah. So I've watched that clip and that episode, and like what – I'll tell you my thoughts after you tell me, though. Like, I was shocked that they had that was it. I thought it was it was funny. Obviously, you were pissed, and so was John, you know. But, like, it looked like part of their show. It's kind of like their whole shtick. So why do you think it got the producer, or whoever that guy was at the end, who was like, get out, why did it make him so mad?
Yeah. What happened was... I had a talk show at the E! Channel, but only ran 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give me a good enough shot to make it a success. And it just ended. So John was allowing callers in to talk shit about my show and why it was canceled. And I was told by E! To keep my mouth shut. I was still in the contract. For several hundred thousand dollars, they were paying to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I can't talk about this. But after like the fourth phone call, I said, if there's one more phone call that comes through, I'm going to go smack Stuttering John in the face. Well, then he made his own call with his voice as if it was someone else. And I said, all right, I'm going to go smack him. And Howard and Robin couldn't believe it. I didn't want to hurt him. I hit him on my left hand. I'm a righty. I would have knocked him out with the right hand. But I slapped him with my left hand, and he got very emotional as well. And because it was workplace violence, I had to leave. Howard called me and said, man, I love you. I'm sorry that that happened. I wish you were still here. You know, but I didn't know, like, I wasn't thinking of that as a career at that point. I just liked being there.
Right.
So maybe I lost the radio career. However, he hired Artie Lang, who was phenomenal. Yeah. Artie earned that spot. Artie was great until he got messed up on drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you talk to either one of those two or Robin?
Well, I was with Artie the night that his life really spiraled again. He was in L.A. His television show on HBO, Crashing, was premiering that night. Mm. And he called me and he said, don't get mad at me. I said, okay, what's wrong? He goes, I really need to get some cocaine. Do you know anybody? I said, Artie, this is a joke. You're straight. You can't do this. He goes, no, man, I got to do something. I got to do this. I got to go to San Francisco tomorrow to meet the executives with HBO. I'm freaking out. I said, I'll try to call someone. Took hours. Finally, I remember there's a restaurant here in L.A., Dantana's, where you go there late enough and there are dealers in there. So I called Dantana's and I talked to the host. I said, hey, I got a friend in from town. He wants to get hooked up. Are there going to be people there tonight with some stuff? He said, yeah, of course. They're always here. So we went to Dantana's. Artie bought a bunch of blow. We went back to his hotel. He devoured it. And the next day he called me and asked me if I could get some heroin. And I said, I have no idea about that game. That's never been my game. But after that, his life completely went down the drain. He just lost everything. And no one even knows where he is right now.
Yeah.
He's living with his mother and his sister, but he's not doing comedy. He's working a regular job someplace. It's really sick.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home.
every day. LG Appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com. When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
It is so sad. I mean, I know for a while he had a podcast that was doing really well. It had great.
It was great.
Yeah, it had great guests on it.
The show, yeah, it was so fun.
I met him a couple of years ago because we were on a podcast together, or on a radio show, actually, for I guess it was Sirius. Whatever. And we were being interviewed by Sherrod Small. I don't know if you know him.
I know him. Yeah,
and,
I know.
And we were talking about our dating life. And it was such a fun 2 hours because he wanted me to set up a Bumble account for him. He wanted me to take him out and have him meet someone good. He was really, you know, he was really hopeful about meeting a good woman to help take care of him. He seemed sober. He seemed good. He was really funny and on. And he was so warm and caring. I just had the best time with him. So it's such a shame to hear how, you know, addiction really is, it just kills people.
Yeah. He's got a big audience, has a big heart, really great guy. But his addiction, you know, you can't work the Howard Stern show and then work the comedy clubs at night where all the drugs are.
Yeah.
Go on these weekends to different nightclubs and make a couple of hundred grand. He loved gambling. He loved cocaine. He loved everything. And he just got the best of him. But Artie wants to be John Belushi.
Yeah.
So he kind of became John Belushi. He's just not dead yet.
Right.
Tar is terrible.
God forbid. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life can be hard sometimes. That's one thing we all have in common. Maybe you're thinking of changing careers or you're struggling in a relationship. You're at a crossroads and could use some guidance. Whatever you're going through, therapy can help you break through and find the best path for your future. I've used therapy in the past for certain things that I've been going through. They don't have to be major things, but sometimes it's great to just talk it out with somebody who you don't have in your immediate life. It makes things look a lot clearer. And finding out about BetterHelp was really interesting. You download the app, you type in some things that are important to you, and you're matched up with a therapist that may work for you. And I have found that my therapist was the perfect match for me. I've been using her once a week since I started, and I'm really excited to continue to use her. BetterHelp is a great place to start if you're thinking about therapy. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. All you have to do is fill out the brief questionnaire, like I said, and BetterHelp will match you with a licensed therapist. And if you don't click with that therapist, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/understood today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/understood. So I wanted to ask you really briefly about your stint in reality TV. You did a couple, shows. You did Celebrity Fit Club and Gimme My Reality Show, which, by the way, I don't remember, but that sounds amazing.
Celebrity Fit Club was interesting because it came at a time where money was tight. Mm. You know, the phone stopped ringing in Hollywood, and that's a scary feeling. And they offered me $80,000 for 8 weeks, 2 days a week to work out. And I said, yeah, I'm in, you know. I met a lot of funny people. Willie Ames, Is Enough, Aaron Rand from Happy Days, Beanie Yothers. You know, a lot of people that have had their time in the sun. Mm-hmm. And I had a ball there. That was good. The next thing, giving my own reality show, that was... I got down to the final three with Kato Kaelin and Danny Bonaducci's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And I just quit the show on the spot. On that episode, I quit.
Why?
And I thought to myself, I didn't want my kids, who were very young at the time, to have sound packs on their body and to be seen on television and for Hollywood to come into my home when I was married to my wife. It just felt gross. And I said, why am I competing in this? I don't want a show. So I quit. And but I didn't end up winning. I think she had a show for a few weeks. It was, it went nowhere.
Right.
But I love Cato Kaelin. He's one of the funniest, most genuine guys in the world. But
he's the best. I've had him on this show. He's fantastic.
Yeah, Cato's great. Cato's so happy all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does, but he's always up and at him and happy and fun. Mm-hmm. I love being around him. Mm-hmm. I've told Cato, if that OJ thing didn't happen, he would have had his own sitcom for years. He's that good. He really is.
I agree. And rightly so. This is why I had him on the show, because he's one of the most misunderstood people and had to live with an awful stigma, just being this, you know, freeloading guest, you know, in the back house or whatever. And he's just anything but. He's terrific.
People don't understand. There's so many people in LA who live in guest houses.
Yeah.
It's just a very common thing. You know, it's very common. People want company. They've got an extra house in the back. And it's so common that he's not a freeloader. He was just,
right.
You know.
And he clarified that he paid rent, by the way, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, he did.
So anyways, he was great. So I want to talk to you about your podcast and the fact that now you cover, you know, gossip again, sort of, and you're really touching on the top stories at the moment, right? Am I categorizing that right?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get your take on a lot of like top stories or things that are going on. Can we talk about some of them?
Sure.
I think this week you talked about Brittany and Sam, you know, being Splitsville. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I said that wouldn't last. 2 years ago, I said this will never last.
Right.
She's going to become this generation's Judy Garland or worse. You know, Sam Asghari. I know so much about this story because I have a source who was a lawyer for Britney who told me everything. I was always ahead of the press by months, and Sam was on her father's payroll. Sam was being paid $500 a day to look out for her. The truth of the matter is Britney probably should never have gotten out of that conservatorship. Yeah. Now we're seeing what she's like. Mm-hmm. You look at her Instagram, stripping, dancing on poles, writhing in the sand and, you know, using an English accent. She's completely shot. She's gone. I don't think there was any cheating involved. I just think he had enough. And I always say when I cover the story that he's going to get about $5 million to go away.
Yeah.
And I still feel that way.
So you think he's just had enough, or you think he was in it for the fame and then realized he could get bigger by breaking up with her and then becoming someone?
I don't think he thought about breaking up with her to get bigger, because I don't know what kind of talent he has. Mm. He's certainly handsome. He could be working for the House of Gucci in a minute. He's got a great physique. He's a good looking kid. But no, I just think he got wrapped up in all of it. You know, when you're around stars like that, it's a very enticing way to live. I mean, you know, money is never an object. There's private jets everywhere. You have traveling constantly. Mm-hmm. But that's not really what life's about. It's very shallow. If there's no real love between them, I don't even think they got married. I think that was just a party. Yeah. I've never seen the certificate of marriage. I don't believe it was a marriage. You know, the people she invited, Madonna, Drew Barrymore, Paris Hilton, there's never a picture of her girlfriend.
Yeah.
There's never a picture of her with someone she likes. She's a little girl lost. And she's stuck in 2003.
Yeah.
She dresses the same. She looks, you know, the hair extensions, the makeup is on for 3 days. Any man at some point would go, I'm out of here. This is ridiculous.
Right. Right. I mean, it is really sad. So many people are pulling for her and believe in her and remember her as who she was, like you said, in 2003 or whenever. She was just the biggest deal. And we love her that way, right? But it is such I always look at these Instagram things she's posting and I'm like, why is somebody not coming in there with a new set of extensions? I mean, that's the first thing I see.
I know.
What is that? And why is no one helping her with some eye makeup, removal stuff? I mean, she could do commercials for things like that because she's such a mess. And we just love her and we want the best for her. And you look at these comments from people and her followers love her so much that no one says anything to help her. Like, girl, I'll come do your extensions. I'll fix your makeup. I'll give you some new clothes. I'll be your best friend. But instead, people are just obsessed with celebrity, you know?
That shows you how nobody cares.
Yeah,
and
sad.
Part of the problem was all of her millions of fans cheering her on those videos saying, yes, queen, you do you, you're the best. And it's like, no, she's not. She's the worst. Right. You're killing her.
Right. It is sad. Well, sad. We wish Britney the best for sure.
Sure we do. Sure.
All right. What are your thoughts on this Scooter Braun scandal? Why is everyone jumping ship? And then why do we hear on the opposite side, no one's left me, everyone still works with me?
I don't think that's true. I think Scooter Braun, he's always been looked upon as sleazy in terms of taking people's records and did to Taylor Swift by taking her, what do you call it? He took all her music and she had to buy it back. Scooter Braun, you know, now they're talking about he's doing a lot of cocaine, which is par for the course in this town when you're that age and that popular. And I think that Taylor Swift engineered this and has told all these people from Rihanna to Idina Menzel to watch out for him and you're better off getting away from him. I think Taylor Swift, I don't know more than three or four of her songs, but she's such a powerhouse right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, a powerhouse that she could talk to all these people and they'd listen and say, if Taylor says it, I'm going to do it. That's what I really think happened. I think she engineered this, people leaving, this exodus.
Yeah, right.
You know?
It is so interesting how Taylor has become who she has become. I mean, I brought my daughter, who's 11, to her concert. I didn't think I knew many songs. I thought I knew just about the same as you, four or five. And it was like the best concert I've ever been to. By the way, and I spent over $5,000 on two tickets and like getting that. It's crazy. Oh, I mean, totally nuts. But I will say it was amazing because the level of excitement of everyone in the stands, there wasn't a seat available and people were on their feet screaming, crying, singing the whole time. And it brought me to tears to see how excited everyone was. So I was like, okay, it was worth it. So then my daughter went to Beyonce last weekend here in Miami. And the prices were just a couple $100s. A lot of the seats were available. She didn't know most of the songs, although she had been studying the songs with her friend, until they got there. And, you know, they left a little early. So, and Beyonce used to be the biggest deal, right? So I find it so interesting that Taylor is the it thing. It's like when I was younger, the it musician was like, you know, a Whitney Houston or a Madonna. For me, the big band was Hall & Oates. I mean, if Hall & Oates walked in, I'd just pass out. They were the best. Best ever.
Yeah. You know, I think what happened is Taylor Swift has stayed pretty much non-political.
Yeah.
She's just kind of kept to her own. Beyonce began to get political and got very liberal about things. And a lot of her songs have to do with race and racism. And I think people are just tired of that. And want to move on from it. I mean, there's no denying her talent. When Beyonce's on, she's amazing. But I'm sorry, some leaf blower outside my room right now. It's Los Angeles after all.
That's okay. You can't even hear it actually hear it? Over here.
Okay. I think Beyonce just became too into what's happening with regard to race and police, and her last few shows were all about marching and I don't want to say the wrong thing, but very pro-black. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's a good thing to do, because white people buy tickets too.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And I think she kind of annoyed some people. But, you know, look, she's worth $500 million. She doesn't care what I say. She's fine.
Right, right.
You know, her and Jay-Z are fine.
Yeah. Well, you said something that I want to get to, because you said, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want to talk about cancel culture for 1 second. So to me, it's so interesting, right? That someone like, we'll talk about current people like that. Lizzo is in the process of being canceled, sort of.
I'm so happy about that.
You were? Oh, so you knew that this was coming down the pike?
I've been calling her out for 2 years.
Wow.
She's so full of shit. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you cannot come out and be as famous as she got and act like being obese is beautiful, because it's not. The way she weighs right now is no different than walking around with cancer and not treating it. She's a mess. I'm not trying to, bitch about overweight people. I could lose 20, 30 pounds myself. But Lizzo acting like, this is beautiful. I saw a video on Instagram where she put a donut and ice cream and milk into a blender and drank it. Kids don't need to see this. America's the fattest country in the world. I don't like that she's so gorgeous, and that whole thing I'm not into. I don't like that Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition now allows overweight women. Victoria's Secret is the worst now because they allow transgender, and it's, to me, it's gone so overboard that the pendulum has to swing back very soon. So, we're out of our minds right now.
Well, but it's interesting that you say that, because some people are able to have a comeback and some people aren't. Like Morgan Wallen, for example, was completely canceled, and now he's back and, you know, everyone loves him. But then someone like Chris Noth, who everyone was in love with, you know, goes on a date with someone and it seems like he doesn't really know, you know, how to have a date. Again, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but like, it's very hard to date sometimes, you know, and he was a guy who everyone was obsessed with. Anyone would want to date or sleep with or whatever. And, you know, he was on a date with someone who, you know, didn't want to go to bed with him or whatever. And they didn't, that didn't even happen. Yeah. But you know, this guy, they've now canceled him out of the show. They've actually made the memories of him dead. I mean, the guy's just over. So how do you know when someone deserves a comeback and when they don't?
Well, I know Chris very well. I coached his son in Little League with my son. And back around 2017, when all the Me Too stuff was happening, he came to me and I said, you know, do you see what's happening? Because I used to hang out with Chris in New York City back in the 90s. And, you know, he had a ball. He was, every girl wanted to hang out with him, handsome guy, wealthy. And I talked to Harvey Weinstein before he went away, because Harvey was a friend of mine. And that's a whole different story that people think I helped him with this raping stuff, which I never did. And I'd love to tell you that story. But I said, it's going to get really serious. They're going to go after a lot of people who, you know, it's not fair, because it might have been just a bad date. The girl didn't like you. And now 15, 20 years later, she can say he tried to rape me or did this and that. And Chris got so worried. He said, how long do you think they're going to go back in time? I said, I don't know. And when I said that, I felt like he was nervous for himself.
Oh, yeah.
And then sure enough, all this crap comes out. Chris had a reputation of being physical with women. I remember those stories in New York with Beverly Johnson. He denied it, of course. I like him a lot. I think generally people disappear for 2 years before they start to get work again. But it's going a little bit longer for Chris. And I know his wife, like I said, I know his son. I don't know why it's taken him longer. It's just not fair.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting what we're talking about, because cancel culture and also gossip now, it almost seems like journalists are becoming a dying breed, right? It's like everyone, you went to school for it. And then there's like journalism 101 through graduating through a course. When we were, you know, back a couple decades ago when I was in the press, when I was reading your articles, whatever, there was a certain, way journalists were putting something out. And then there was an appetite that the public had for that. And that made you guys do more, look into more, put out more sources about it or more stories about it. But now everyone's a journalist. Everyone is creating their opinion and making that into fact. And it's like these, you know, people behind a keyboard are just, you know, typing as fast as they can on social media. And that is going viral. And I mean, I think it's dangerous. What do you think about it? I mean, it just seems like there's no journalism. There's no way to have credible information come out. And then people's lives are being ruined because of it, or their reputations.
It's terrible because, I was very proud to be, and still am proud to be a journalist. It requires a lot of intuition and reportage and developing sources, which takes years, shaking 5,000 hands. And you shake 5,000 hands, that means you might know 10,000 more people because they know people that can help you. Mm-hmm. So I was always out in the street, in the clubs, getting my information. But nowadays, and by the way, we had an actual press pass. I didn't wear it, but the press pass meant that you were allowed to cross police lines and go into a crime scene, and that's all gone now. Now, anybody with a laptop and an opinion can say what they want about someone's life.
Right.
Perez Hilton, who's really, you know, in Baltimore, no one really follows him like did it in the early 2000s. He never had a press pass. He was just a guy working at Starbucks with a laptop and making fun of celebrities. And he became so powerful. Mm-hmm. It always bothered me. When I was working, you needed two sources for every story.
Right.
And your editor made sure you did that. And after that, your lawyers at the Daily News, there were three of them. They would check every column, every story before it was published. Now it's just press send and it's out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very dangerous and it's getting a lot of people in a lot of trouble who don't deserve the trouble. So it's just, I picked two different careers that kind of went sideways. TV hosting now is very not used as much. They use voiceovers instead of a person in front talking. As a journalist, anybody can be a journalist now. I'm on a series now on Nat Geo called, I think it's called Reeling in the 90s or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only journalist on the show. Like, everybody else is a stylist or a publicist or I don't even know what they are, but they didn't go to school to write, to learn about reporting, and yet their words matter. It bugs me.
Right. And it's also making people famous as the story themselves. So like what's going on social media and this whole reality reckoning thing, right? I mean, it's just completely taken over not only social media and those platforms, but the news. I mean, it's in mainstream media, in Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, they're covering this kind of thing. And it's interesting to me because people that are either podcast hosts that cover reality TV or Bravo, they are the ones being interviewed by news organizations at night for their take on what's going on. And, you know, and then they're feuding with each other. It's almost like the thing that everyone is upset with Bravo right now about how dangerous it can be. That kind of toxic environment is also being played out on social media with people that are covering this, talking about it. You see people sharing DMs that they've had with famous stars in reality. I mean, it's really nuts. What's your thought of this reality reckoning?
Well, it's very scary. Honestly, the whole Bravo stuff I stay away from because if I see one more article about Tom Sandoval and Rachel, whatever her name is, I don't give a shit. They're people on a reality show. They're not important, but yet the newspapers and websites and I know why podcasters have them on the show that you get views.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never want to be around those people. They're nothing. They're nothing to me.
Right.
They are tens and thousands. Why can they have to be superstars who matter? Mm-hmm. And it is really dangerous that you can have DM'd somebody years ago or written an email I'll tell you something that Harvey Weinstein told to me.
Yeah.
Naturally, Harvey told me that everything he did was consensual. And I talked to some of the girls that went through that, some of his victims, and I didn't believe him. But he said, AJ, if it were back in the 90s and you were still at your job, they'd come after you too. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. And then you start thinking, were there dates where it didn't end good? Usually I was really good with, I had a lot of options back then. If I dated a girl from 9 o'clock to 11, nothing happened, that was fun. I knew who I could call at 12 a.m. or 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. and do my thing. But, you know, it's scary that somebody can say he did this to me, he did that to me, and automatically the man is guilty. Just guilty.
Right.
You lose everything. So on my show, I really rail about that a lot because it's changed the whole spectrum of what news and journalism is. And it's very dangerous that suddenly we're no longer a country where, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
Now you're guilty immediately. You get your sentencing, you get your cancellation or your jail time. It's up in smoke. You're just gone.
The court of public opinion seems much more powerful than the courts, the court system. And it's very, very scary because you are, you know, you're at the mercy of people that either like you or don't like you, or believe your story as opposed to looking at facts. And that's really a very scary thing to look at.
Like, you know, I know Donald Trump for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out with him years ago. We dated the same girl. Kind of at the same time, which got a little weird. It got a little weird. Him and I had a big fight on Howard Stern.
Who was the girl?
Kari Young, the model.
Okay.
And I moved to L.A. and we weren't together. But every time I came back to New York, I'd hook up. We'd be together, but she was dating him. Mm. So we kind of crisscrossed a little bit. But a lot of people like to call him racist. I was at tables with him at restaurants where he signed checks for people like Russell Simmons, Sean Combs, who wanted to start a restaurant or whatever kind of clothing line. Didn't even ask for when they can pay him back. Jesse Jackson loved him. Al Sharpton was at his tables. The girlfriend I'm mentioning is half black. Mm-hmm. He's not racist, but it takes one person to say it.
Yeah.
And it just sticks like glue.
So, you know,
now they're trying to say he used the word riggers the other day for election riggers. And CNN and MSNBC said, I think we know why he chose that word. It rhymes with the N word. No, it just stop it. I mean, these are real professional people saying this kind of shit.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. So what, you know him personally, what are your thoughts on everything that's going on with him? I mean, today he's showing up in Georgia. And like, what are your thoughts on what's going on with Donald?
Well, I'll be very upfront. I'm a Trump guy. I used to hate his guts. I used to write about him all the time in New York. Mm-hmm. I hated him after the whole girlfriend debacle. Mm-hmm. And then I began to like him, and I voted for him. I had a conversation with him about why he's running and how much he thinks he can do, and sold me. I like outsiders. I like people who come in a room and change shit, kick over chairs and make people take notice. Mm-hmm. So I voted for him twice. I'll tell you right now, I think he's going to beat this rap. I think a lot of it's going to be thrown out. But I'll tell you right now, that mugshot they take of him is going to be bigger than Che Guevara T-shirts and Mickey Mouse T-shirts. Mm-hmm. Millions of people are going to wear that shirt. They've made him a martyr now. And Joe Biden can barely find the light switch in his bedroom. They've just given Donald Trump so much more power. And I think he'll succeed. I think he'll come back and win. And I think we need it. Because the country's going to shit.
Right.
I'm sure you're liberal. It's okay.
No. Well, you know, listen, I'm more liberal, but I also know Donald Trump. I, you know, I find him interesting. I find him funny. You know, there's a lot of things that I like about him. There's a lot of things I don't like about him in the way that he treats people. And, you know, some of the things he says are very abrasive. And listen, I had my own experience with him where he asked me to be on Celebrity Apprentice.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
And I met up with Michael Cohen. They asked me to do the show. They came to me. I didn't go to them. And I ended up choosing to do Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew because I felt seen by Drew. I mean, I felt like this guy can really help me. And I was really struggling. I had become a recluse. I felt like the whole world was talking about me. And I wanted the opportunity for the world to see me for who I was. And I felt like I wouldn't get that chance on The Apprentice. I thought that really I could get some help with Drew, but also I could feel like I was in a safe place. And when I told him that I wasn't doing his show, I remember he did some article with TMZ and said, "I don't even know who that girl is. Who is she? I would never ask her to do my show." And I was like, how could he say that? And then later he invited me to his Christmas party. He brought in a fake guy, a guy that looked like Tiger Woods to say that we were in the same place. Yeah, really crazy. So, listen, I get Donald. I understand him. I'm a New Yorker. I get that like vibe that he has going. A lot of people, it's too abrasive, but he does some things that are way too abrasive for his power.
He has very little couth. He's abrasive. He, I like to say that he's from the ready, fire, aim school of speaking to people. Mm. He doesn't aim, he fires first. But he is a counterpuncher and a tough guy that I know that can be very, people can take that and want to hate him. I get it. But I also know his funny side and his helpful side. And I grew up in that. I'm a New Yorker. I was around mafiosa guys all my life. So I know what they're like. What they work with: iron workers, concrete guys, window people, construction guys. And you adopt a certain personality that's different than a Jeff Bezos billionaire. You develop a different kind of exterior when you're around those tough guys. So to me, it's fine. I'm a loud Italian. He doesn't scare me. I told him I was going to kill him. You know, we had a big fight and then we made up. But yeah, I totally know what you're saying. Sometimes I go, why did he just say that? Yeah. That was stupid. You know, I know.
Yeah. So incidentally, do you still speak to Harvey Weinstein in prison?
No, not since he's gone away. What happened to Harvey and I'll tell you as briefly as I can. I had somebody paint a painting for him because he was very good to me. You know, a book deal, a movie deal. So I got someone to paint a painting that said Harveywood instead of Hollywood. When I went to go pay for it to get it, some girl asked me, "Who is this for?" I said, "It's my friend, you know, Harvey Weinstein. He's a producer." And she goes, "Oh, he's dating a friend of mine in England." And I knew Harvey was married here in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Okay." So I called him and I said, "Harvey, just nobody says you're dating a girl in England." "That's not true." And he called me back and said, "It's true. What do we do?" So we got together. And what we did was I said, I will call your gossip, your publicist, Miramax. I'll give them stories of other people. So if any other paper calls to ask about this affair you're having, they can trade and butter and give them another story. So he paid me a lot of money every month for about a year. Cut to 2017. I'm coaching my son. He calls me on the sideline. He goes, "I need you at the Four Seasons. When can you get here?" I said, "In about an hour." I go to the Four Seasons. He goes, "They're doing a hit job on me." I said, "Who?" "I don't know. But they're asking questions about me and a lot of people are talking. We got to find out who's doing this story. I'll pay you X amount, find out about the author, who's doing it." I said, "All right, okay." You know, he never said the word rape. He just said a hit job. Mm-hmm. And I thought, it's probably a story about him being bossy and a prick and loud. I called him about a week later. He said, and it was gone. He goes, "No, hold tight. I'll let you know. Don't worry about it." Then I started seeing stories in the paper from Rose McGowan about this producer who raped her. And I was putting two of them together, and I said, that sounds like Harvey. And at that point, I knew that that was the hit job on him. So one night, he texted me and said, help me. And I said, Harvey, you just, you know, it's, I call him Ronan Sinatra. But, you know, Ronan Farrow is writing this article. He's untouchable. Hollywood liberal elite dating Barack Obama's former speechwriter. There's nothing anybody can do with this kid. He's untouchable. I said, if I were you, I would come up with, were you ever molested by a rabbi or an uncle or anybody? It takes a monster to make a monster. Maybe that's your out. He goes, AJ, it was all consensual. He just kept saying that. I said, well, there's nothing you can do now. It's going to come out. So I never, ever helped him throughout his rich situation. I helped him in 2003 when it came to his affair. He later married the woman, and Georgina. He married her, left his wife, and married her. So people misconstrue that as if I was there to help him with the rape stuff. Not at all. He asked me for help, and I never did anything because I have had a wife, I have sisters, I have a daughter. I would have fucking knocked him out. I would never have done that. But he said to me, you know, I know the people who are talking about me, George Clooney, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, if I told stories about them, Hollywood would fall down to its knees. I know everything. I said, you're probably right. You're probably right. So I know I'm right. But I don't rat on anybody. It's the last I heard from him.
Wow. So that's very interesting. All right. So I think that people can understand that you've been through everything for the last, how long has it been? 30 years that you've been doing gossip?
Yeah, 91.
Yeah.
91. So yeah.
So you know where the bodies are buried. You've been part of some, I wouldn't say scandals, but you've been in the news yourself. What do you think is the most misunderstood thing about you?
About me?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't think I'm honest. And I'm so honest. I write the truth. I don't care. I write the truth about me. Mm-hmm. I tell the truth about me. 3 days ago on my podcast, I said, I'm going to AA. Things have gotten out of control. I lost my nephew, who was like my brother. I'm going through a separation and divorce, living in hotels. My listeners know everything about me. Mm-hmm. I don't like that people think I'm full of shit or just some guy who's coming up with stories and throwing them out there in the universe. No, everything I do is very open and honest and checked out. And other than that, I don't even know. And beyond that, Rachel, I don't even care. You know, I'm 61 right now. I've gotten this far. I'm not going to fold my hand and walk away. Right. This is who I am.
Right. Well, I love that about you. I think it's evident you are like the OG of like, you know, a reporter, a journalist, someone who really gets it, someone who's been through it and lived it, understands what it's like to cover a story. And there are very few and far between people like that. Do you have anything in your life you want to share that was like the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you or something you covered that you just were so proud of?
Covered.
I always liked
the fact that this might sound shallow, but when I got the job as a gossip columnist in New York, it gave me entree to every place in New York, every restaurant, every play, every, you name it, I was there. And then when I left gossip and became a television personality, I was on the other side of the rope, and I don't think journalists like that because I made the switch and then I became the guy they hunted. But in terms of what I'm really proud about, I'm proud that at my age, with a marriage that was disintegrating, I was able to meet a wonderful girl, and I've been with her for 3 years, and I rationalized with myself, you know, you probably got 20 years left, man. Mm. Be happy. Take care of your kids, which I do. I love them for that. I'll see them tonight. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You got to be happy. You got to find your own happiness. And if it's not at home and you meet this girl and she's tremendous, then go get her. And I did. It's been 3 years. So that's right now what I'm most happy about. And I'm really happy that I have this podcast, Fame as a Bitch, where I don't really just do gossip. I talk about old Hollywood stories. Most of my listeners love the fact that I have all these personal stories, mm-hmm. even about my family, that they love to hear. So I'm very lucky in that regard that I get to open a microphone and spill my guts every day and have people wait for me and listen and support me. And it's really a great feeling. I think that, you know, you have that now, and you're going to have even more of it as you go down this road. Mm-hmm. I remember the rankings when I used to look at them. I was up there at the top for a while. Mm-hmm. But I found out I don't read reviews because, like I said before, if you believe the best review, you've got to believe the worst review. And I won't look at anything anymore. I know who I am. My listeners know who I am. My girlfriend knows who I am. That's it. My kids, that's it. Everybody else can go fuck themselves.
I love that.
I've already done it. I've proved myself.
You definitely have proved yourself. Okay, AJ Benza, where can people find your podcast?
My podcast is on Patreon. It's $5 a month, called Fame as a Bitch. I usually do one or two free shows a week. And you can find them on any podcast service, you know, Apple, whatever. It's out there. And I do Politics as a Bitch as well once a week. But that's where I am. $5 a month on Patreon or free twice a week.
Awesome. Well, I will be signing up. I'm so happy we've met. I've loved our conversation.
You'd like it.
Yeah.
You'd like it. And you know what? If you ever get in the jam again, you know, I'm a good guy to know to get you out of the jam.
That is right. Hopefully I won't be calling you about that. But if I get in a jam, I'm calling you first.
I got to tell you real quick, and then we can go. I don't want to bring up a sore subject, but when Tiger had that car wreck several years back, I know what happened, and I know why he was kind of let off. There's a judge down there who plays golf with him, and he wasn't about to look into Tiger's situation, whether he was on drugs or what have you. So I reported that on my podcast as well. I thought you might like to hear that. But I hope he's well. I'm not a golf fan, but he was amazing. Mm-hmm. You guys had the tabloids screaming for a while. And like I said, I go back with you on that awful day of 9/11, seeing your face on the newspaper. And once you got infamous or famous, I just knew, I know I'm going to know this girl somehow. I know it. And as it turns out, we do. We have similar friends, so I'm glad we do.
Yeah, I'm sorry it's taken this long.
Yeah, it's all right. I got 20 more years, but we'll be all right.
Okay, good. Well, I appreciate you. We will be in touch.
All right. Take care, doll.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG Appliances, so much more.
Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com. When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.